Right now, we're joined on the line by Lorain County Community College professor Bill Kimberlin, who has published a behind-the-scenes death row book called Watch Me Die. Good morning, Bill. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, let's talk about why you would want to write a book of such a topic.
Well, you know, it started out when I started teaching as a college professor, because I never wanted to be the type of college professor that would teach book smarts only. And in the field of psychology, which my doctorate is in, a lot of times we get into some of the highest debatable issues, whether it is, you know, capital punishment, gun rights, all that stuff. And when I started delving more into the death penalty and capital punishment, everybody seemed to have an opinion, but nobody had ever witnessed anything firsthand. Nobody had ever even been to death row. So that started my journey by contacting the Attorney General's office, and after they hung up on me the first time, and I called back asking, you know, what does it take to get to be put on a list or the lottery for an execution, the lady felt so sorry for me, because it's just something, she said, it can't be done. The governor's never witnessed one, the Attorney General. There's the Ohio Revised Code that states exactly what needs to be done to witness one, and only three people on each side can. But she said, I will send you the list of inmates that are scheduled to be executed and see if you can find a way to work yourself into it. And I did.
And then this is a firsthand account of Ohio's death row. When did this process start? Here we are in 2016. When did you started this process?
It's going on 10 years ago now. I started this almost 10 years ago because of the fact that at the time we were just now getting into our execution process again. We had a stay for a very lengthy period of time, just like we have in the last couple years. So when I first started, we were at the point where most of the inmates have exhausted all their appeals, and they were scheduled. So when I started talking and interviewing the inmates face-to-face, then they started to ask me if I would be one of their witnesses. And next thing I know, it started down this journey that's taken me, you know, 9-10 years to go down, and I'm still working on it.
Bill, what did you learn from these inmates? Were they open? Did they want to share their stories? Did they admit they did something wrong?
Yes. Every one of my inmates that I dealt with had to admit right off the bat that they were guilty. Otherwise, I wouldn't deal with them. I wouldn't interview them, because I felt that if they were innocent, then they needed to speak to an attorney, not a psychologist. And then I found that the majority of them wanted their story to be known. Some of them are very controlling. You know, the Anthony Sowells, people like that of Cleveland area. I was one of the first to interview him a number of times, and they're very controlling. They want people to always know about them. So, yeah, they had no problem opening up.
What were some of your, besides the fact that you wanted to talk to people who admitted that they were guilty or did the crime that they're sentenced to die for, what other parameters did you put in place, or either sort of mentally, or how did you go into this process so you wouldn't get kind of absorbed or lost in it, I guess?
Well, you know, it was a learning experience, because it had never been really done before, because I was granted complete access to these guys on death row. So when I would go in to interview them, there would be no handcuffs or shackles. I'd get to eat with them, whether I'm walking up and down death row with them, if it's towards the end of their time waiting for an execution. I just had to play by ear as I went along, and had to keep reminding myself that these individuals were really bad people, and as much as they liked to laugh and joke with me, I would never let my guard down. I always stayed, you know, very focused at the person in front of me, and I just made sure that it didn't become an obsession and stuck to the educational aspect of it.
Many of these inmates are on death row for a mighty long time. What is life like for them in prison?
Well, that's, I think, what surprised me the most, was finding out that these guys on death row enjoyed so many amenities while they were there that they actually enjoyed death row. They would rather be on death row than general population, because they have their own cell. They're outside of their cell most of the day. They have ability to have TVs in their cells, handheld video games. They have computer access. They have art supplies. They send me artwork on a weekly basis. They're allowed 3 fully nude pictures sent to them every day. They can order food boxes, different tennis shoes. I mean, people would be very, very surprised to see how well they're treated on death row.
So let's talk, I guess, a little bit about maybe the execution process or the time when you were able to actually get there for the reason you were there, as the title of the book, Watch Me Die. Tell me a little bit about that process or even your thoughts of all this was taking place.
You know, that's probably the most difficult part of every aspect of this research that I've completed, was any time that you have to sit there and watch the life of a human being being taken in front of you, that's difficult. Even knowing that they've committed these horrible, horrible crimes, understanding that they've never done anything to me personally wrong, so you know, you had to remind yourself that they were that horrible. And I was sometimes the very last person to ever speak to them in the death cell, and then I'd go around and go to the witness section of it in front of the glass. It can be difficult. I've witnessed several of them, and I have several more that want me to witness theirs, but I'm pretty much finished with that part of any of the research, because there's nothing more that I can learn from it. You know, it's not like putting a dog to sleep. The first one took 2 hours from start to finish. It's a system that's very, very broken, in my opinion.
Does it take a toll on you?
Not as much as people would think. Of course, if you ask my family, they'd probably give you a whole separate answer, because they know I get very much on edge when I go to death row, and especially for an execution, because it's just the uncertainty, not knowing what could happen or what's going to take place. So, but it's not like I have nightmares over it or anything like that. But it's still something that I don't think I will ever forget.
You mentioned the system is broken. How should it be fixed?
At this point, I don't know if it really can be fixed, because of the fact that every state is different, and we can't even agree on the method of execution, let alone the time that they spend on death row or the crimes that put them there. And when you're wanting to inflict the most ultimate form of punishment, which is death, I think that's something that everybody should be on the same page for. And, you know, when you can't even get the same drug cocktail together, every execution I've witnessed has been lethal injection, but all of them have been different drugs. Some states still use the electric chair, some use the gas chamber. I just think that in order to fix a system like that, it needs to be uniformed across the board if we're going to implement it.
We're talking today with Lorain County Community College Professor Bill Kimberlin, who has published the book called Watch Me Die, investigating Ohio's death row. Over a decades of work going into this book. One of the things you've came away with, I guess, is death row inmate artwork. Apparently this is, I've seen these from some sort of celebrated art people, John Wayne Gacy, the name, some people like that. There's something.
Sure.
Is this something that develops out of them there because of the time they have? Is this a therapy to them? What do you see related to art that comes out of these prisoners and the people in prison at that point?
For the most part, what I see is for them a way to make money, because believe it or not, there's a lot of collectors out there on the market that will pay big money. So for John Wayne Gacy, Pogo the Clown, that might get $3,000 right now. And, you know, that funds a lot of these inmates on death row. They send me stuff. Literally, I got 6 paintings this week alone from San Quentin to Ohio. And they just want to be known on top of trying to make money on the outside. And the last thing I want to do is glorify them, but people do want to see their artwork. And I have a ton of it that's going to be displayed here shortly tonight at the college. But I really don't even know what to do with all of it, because there's so much of it that gets sent to me.
And speaking of at the college, today, May 3rd, you're at the college books, or Commodore's Books and More, from 5 to 7 for a book signing.
Yes.
Have you discussed it with anybody who's read your book or looked at it? Have you, your students or people at the college, what kind of a response has come out of this so far?
Yeah, it's been amazing. I have not had one single bad review from anyone, and I'm talking from different countries even. I think people have this curiosity about death row and the death process because it's not very transparent. It's a very secretive thing that goes on. So they're very amazed at the book walking them through death row, walking them through the execution itself, and seeing what these inmates are like, you know, one-on-one, psychologically as well as criminally. So it's I have to admit it's been great for me with all of the reviews that I've gotten so far.
What have you learned from those prisoners? You had previously done work in the probation and parole officer arena, doing so.
Yes.
Obviously the point where you try to either help with rehabilitation of prisoners or people not as obviously hardened criminals, that you might call it that. But what did you learn from those people that are on death row, kind of related to the whole prison system?
The ones that are on death row deserve to be where they're at, from what I've learned. They are very dangerous. The majority of them, all of my guys, in fact, that I've witnessed get executed, would still be talking about wanting to murder even the day of their execution. They're not remorseful. They like to own the families on the outside, which is why they appeal so much. Their process of the appeals, that way that they make the victim's family relive this over and over. The longest guy I had on death row was 28 years, which was Frank Spezak. And 28 years he sat there on death row and could really do whatever he wanted, but forced the victim's families to relive this moment. So it's been different.
Again, the book is called Watch Me Die. People can meet Professor Kimberlin tonight from 5 to 7 at Commodore's Books and More at the College Center at Lorain County Community College. I suppose the bookstore also has your book there. Where else is it available, too?
The bookstore does have it. Amazon.com, you can order from there. Barnes & Noble, you can order from there. Or Books A Million. Green Ivy Publishing. But tonight I'll also be doing a presentation. I have a slideshow, and then I'll display all the artwork in that while I'm there as well. So
this is obviously something that you can't put away, I suppose. Yeah, even after writing it, there's probably more, and all of what started is probably for a book has probably grown into other things that you could probably investigate or be a part of, too.
Yeah, you know, I've been contacted by, you know, various agencies like the ID Network and things like that. My research now goes all over the country because I have inmates from San Quentin to Nevada to Federal Death Row to Texas and all over. So I'll be visiting some of those death rows here in the near future as well, so I can kind of like compare and contrast. But I'm in constant contact with inmates from all over the country every day from death rows.
Currently in Ohio, are we on a hold pattern until we find out the right process? Is that where we
Yes.
are as far as our executions in the state of Ohio?
Yes. We put a moratorium on in 2015 and 2016 until they can figure out the proper methods of the drug concoction as well as where to get the drug supplies from. So we have 138 males on death row in Ohio, one female. She's housed in Marysville.
Again, our guest today has been LCCC Professor Bill Kimberlin. The book is called Watch Me Die. Bill, thanks for joining us this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been an honor.